Is there a difference between internal IT and a managed service provider? The MSP market is still growing. And does size matter in managed services? Coming up next.
You're entering the MSP Zone, a podcast for the managed services community, covering news, analysis, and interviews from around the globe. Elevate your MSP game by staying in the MSP Zone. And now, your host, Charles Weaver.
What's up, folks? All of you out there in the MSP land, hope you're all doing well. I thought we'd start off this episode with a segment that looks at the differences and potential similarities, but more often differences between internal IT departments and managed service provider business units. And you might think, well, Charles, why are you spending any time on this? I mean, we kind of know what the difference is. We help internal IT departments. Well, yeah, I get that, and other people do get it as well. But I'm constantly reminded, especially now when we see, again, another wave, a huge wave of new members coming into the MSP Alliance. And where are they coming from? They're startups. A lot of them are startups with no prior managed services experience, which is good. It means that there's a new age, a new generation of MSP professionals that are being born and coming into the profession every day. And this is somewhat for them, although for some of you old timers out there who may have forgotten some of these issues, this is perfectly acceptable for you to listen to this. But a lot of the new MSP professionals may not really be aware of why there is a distinction, a difference between internal IT departments and the MSP. Because if you don't understand what that difference is, you're never going to be able to understand it and sell managed services as effectively as you could. And you won't be able to understand the pressures of the internal IT department and be able to offer a solution that makes their life better. And ultimately, that is what MSPs going back 30 years have been about. Internal IT departments don't always see it that way. You know, there was a time when they looked at MSPs as very much a competitive threat. I think that those days are by and large gone. I think most internal IT departments, most everybody understands that MSPs and internal IT work closely with one another. But let's dive right into it, and I think you'll get what I'm saying pretty quickly. If you really examine the IT department and an MSP, they have a lot of similarities. Some of those similarities might be, well, they both are taking care of users potentially. They might have a help desk. They may have some tools. They have internal IT. They have IT technical professionals working to accomplish that goal. And that's good. That's good. I mean, that's at the surface level where the similarities end. Because an internal IT department, and this is not new and it goes back decades, the internal IT department has unique struggles that are unique to them that really don't apply in any other MSP environment. And what I mean by that is the internal IT department has a ownership group, or it has a board maybe. They have a particular goal for being in IT in that company. All right, well, I'll give you a good example. If you are Coca-Cola, your internal IT department is all about equipping the company, its internal users, its executives, its salespeople, the manufacturing plants, the distribution partners, equipping them with IT capabilities to sell a beverage. If you're an IT department for a law firm, you're there to make those lawyers better and more productive at delivering legal services. if you're in medical, and so on. You get where I'm going. But that's their core focus. Their core focus is whatever that entity or organization does, it's to further that goal. It is not, I would argue, it is not the goal of the internal IT department for that company to be the best internal IT department they could be. Now, that may sound really counterintuitive and sound strange, and I am not besmirching the our friends in the internal IT community, because it's really fantastic people. This is an organizational thing, right? This is an organizational, not an individual thing that I'm, or attribute that I'm bringing to the table. The internal IT department isn't there, does not exist to become efficient, to become scalable, to become the best that it can be for giving great customer service to their customers. Now, a few of you may say, well, no, that we do all that stuff. Maybe there's a few of you out there, but it is not the majority. It is not the majority. That's, and I don't go over that too much further in detail, but I think you get the point that the internal IT department is there at the behest of the larger entity, and it's there to promote and to help that entity, that organization, that corporation do whatever it is that they're doing. It is not to become proficient with high customer service and all the other things that we in the managed services field value. And it doesn't mean that it's bad. It just means that it's different. We value certain things differently than internal IT values. And a lot of it is not the fault of internal IT. A lot of it, I hate to say, but I think it's true, is the responsibility and due to corporate mindset, legacy corporate mindset of IT and what it is, and not really understanding what it is. Today, I think that may be different, especially as you have newer generations coming into the workforce and you have them, you know, in organizations and entities that have IT from day one, you know, which was not the case, right? You've had, you know, going back decades, you've had companies that, you know, only late in their careers had IT departments and IT capabilities. But why don't internal IT departments scale? Why don't they have efficiency? Why don't they have high customer service markers as not only goals, but how come they don't try to achieve them? The reason for those questions, in my opinion, is the internal IT department, again, is motivated by very different outcomes. Their goal and what they actually end up doing, right? Their goals and their day-to-day life aren't always the same, but their goals are very different than an MSP. And their outcomes, what they actually end up doing, is very different from that. What does that mean? Okay, if you are a small or mid-sized company today and you don't have unlimited budgets, you've got maybe a few IT people, maybe probably supporting a much, much larger workforce, and you probably don't have the training that you need or would like. You probably don't have budget to go out and hire more people in the disciplines that you need. You probably don't have access to the tools that you need to deliver, to do the services, to do the job that you were hired to do the job that the internal IT department is supposed to do. That has nothing to do with desire or a wish to do those things. It's just lack of resources. They don't have the people. They don't have the tools. They don't have the time in the day to do all those things that they need to do to push the company forward and also make sure that the sales team has email access, make sure that they can print, make sure that HR has application support for the things that they do, make sure that accounting team has access to their applications and so on and so on and so on. what ends up happening in internal IT is that they work on break fix kinds of things more often than not. How often have you seen this? I know you MSPs at home in the car listening to this, you're nodding your head, right? Internal IT ends up more likely than not dealing with the fundamentals, the blocking and tackling of everyday IT drudgery that, yeah, it's drudgery, but it has to be done. Backing up the data, patching up the systems, making sure that things are properly provisioned, making sure that the lights are all green. And we haven't even started to scratch the surface when it comes to all the effort around security. Internal IT departments are strapped. And so it is really, really rare that you ever see an internal IT department actually achieve scalability, efficiency, and high customer service outcomes on their own. You just don't see it, but they do happen. And so we know that it can happen. We just know that it's really rare. One of those examples, a very famous story. I think it was Caterpillar. Caterpillar, the manufacturer of equipment, farming equipment, among other things, had an internal IT group at one point that achieved that ability to scale, and they got to the point where they realized, wow, we actually have something that's really good. We are really efficient in our movement. We're doing things that we need to do. People love us. What did they do? They said, we're an MSP. Let's pull this out of Caterpillar and let's sell our services back to Caterpillar as an external unit. They're one example. There are others. I've seen hedge fund IT departments who were really uniquely attuned to hedge fund problems. And so they developed an internal IT department for hedge funds, and they achieved, because they were good at it and because their management gave them money and funds and resources to go and do that and achieve that. And what did they do? Same thing. They realized, wow, we're good. We're doing things the way that nobody else is doing. We're unique. And then what happens? They pull that unit out and they start selling it to other hedge funds. It's a curious thing, don't you think, that the market drivers, the natural evolution of an internal IT department is when they actually mature and they actually become really proficient, scalable, not all the time, but I think more often than not, they feel a calling to do this for others, because they realize that there's a need that isn't being fulfilled. And so I call that out for your attention so that you guys understand that there is a really big chasm. If it's not large, then it's deep, at least, between MSP and internal IT. And the reason that it's there is that most of the internal IT departments that you face today are maybe through no fault of their own, but they are just locked into a perpetual reactive IT mode that they can't get out of. Maybe management's not willing to invest in them. Maybe they just will never have the access to resources in that size of a company to be able to do what they need to do at scale and at efficiency. Whatever. The point is, we need to recognize the difference. We need to understand that internal IT are struggling. They want to become better. They want to do those things. And that is one of, not the only, but one of the significant benefits and reasons why MSPs are so vital today, is that they give that internal IT department the ability to unlock what they need to be doing, but really are unlikely to ever do, if not helped by someone on the outside. That's a big topic. I get that. That's a huge overarching theme. a lot to think about. Maybe, you know, if you're in the U.S., you're going into Memorial Day weekend or whatever, and you're thinking about this for a while, because I think about this type of stuff for a while. It's an existential reason why MSPs are so valuable is what this is. But if you can understand it, if you can understand that internal struggle of IT departments and what they want to do but what they can't do, you will be better off as an MSP in understanding their problems, being able to rationally talk to them, not talk down to them, being able to say, look, I get what you're trying to do. This is what we do. This is how we can help. This is why we are different than you. Doesn't mean that we're necessarily better. It's just we can do things that you can't. Let's partner up. If you get that, you're going to be much better off. You'll communicate better. You'll sell better. You'll deliver better services. Trust me. All right, next topic. The MSP market still growing strong. You read the news today. You listen to the news, watch the news, whatever you do. It seems to be a bunch of negative financial stuff, right? The stock market's going up and down. People are talking about recession. They're at least talking about a slowing of the economy. What you know, at some point, something's got to give, right? I thought this was somewhat good news. So this piece came from Allied Market Research. And again, you know, I know I sound like a broken record. You have to take this with a grain of salt, not because it's not accurate, but because it's focusing on a segment of the market that is just, it doesn't represent numerically the majority of MSPs out there, but it does, and I'll explain why. Title: Managed Services Market to Reach $594 billion globally by 2023 at an 11.3% compound annual growth rate, according to Allied Market Research. Okay, this is dated May 17th, 2023, this year. All right, so Allied Market Research, not sure who these guys are, but they cover the tech sector, and they look at a handful of, quote, MSPs, and they come up with this number. Now, a couple of things. Number one, they are talking about the enterprise class. The leading managed services market players that they list, which, by the way, is identical to probably a dozen or two dozen other reports and studies that come out every year that are, you know, kind of similar in this style. They all list the following companies as leading managed services market players: IBM, HCL, TCS, Atos, AT&T, Cisco, Fujitsu, Ericsson, Accenture, and Dimension Data. All enterprise class, undeniably enterprise. Is that bad? No. It just doesn't represent the mid-market, medium, or small business sector covered by MSPs globally, which is numerically, there are more MSPs of that type than there are of this type, right? Here's like what a dozen, 10? That's fine. I'm just letting you know. If you're saying about, you know, your $5 million MSP practice in the middle of Cleveland, you know, does this apply to me? It does, but I'm just, hold on. I'll get there. So the players that they're talking about here that represent that $594 billion market share that they're writing about are largely enterprise. Not largely, they are enterprise. Point number two, at $594 billion by 2031, that would be roughly half, a little less than half, but roughly half, let's call it, of the Gartner IT services global spend, which I think is around a little bit over 1.1, 1. 1, 1 I think it's over 1 trillion. I don't know if it's actually at 1.1 trillion. I'll have to go check that. But it's a lot. It's over 1 trillion. Now, the Gartner number should rise, you know, in the next coming years, you know, by the time we get to 2031. But let's assume that this number is roughly half of that 1.1, 1.2 trillion, whatever that's added in 2031. That would mean that managed services, according to Allied Market Research, is representing at least half of the total IT services spend on the planet. Makes sense? We're over a little bit over 1 trillion in IT services global spend, according to Gartner. Allied Market Research says by 2031, we're going to be at 594 billion of managed services spend, according to those 10 or so enterprise class MSPs. That's roughly half, right? That's good. Most of you are saying, well, that sounds pretty good. It is good. I mean, not just the number, because it sounds big, because it is big, but the growth rate, 11%, 11.3% to be precise. But what doesn't this market research talk about? What area doesn't it cover? Everything else outside of enterprise, which is massive. It is massive. When you take everything below the enterprise level, mid-market and SMB combined, numerically, you are talking about a lot more MSPs. But in the aggregate, you are talking about a lot of money in that sector alone. How much? We don't know, because Allied Market Research and Gartner don't really cover that segment of the market. But we could probably deduce, using logic, that if we're at $594 billion in enterprise managed services by 2031, and there's probably another half a billion plus unaccounted for, you could probably deduce that the rest of that money is coming from somewhere. Now, where is that money likely to come from in IT services spend on planet Earth? Well, it's not the Martian MSP sector that's red hot and adding to this number. No, I'm going to go with planet Earth-based SMB mid-market good old-fashioned managed service providers. Now, if you're a $5 million MSP in Cleveland, that's something that I would be really happy about. Now, I don't know. I'm assuming that the growth rates would be relatively close for the SMB and mid-market as they are to the enterprise. Again, you know, I'm going into areas of statistical, you know, haziness, because I, you know, some of you who have statistics degrees would say, well, Charles, your methodology is really flawed here. We'd have to look at the sample size. And yeah, I get all that. I get all that. I'm just trying to do the best that I can with the information that we have, which is flawed. It's incomplete. It's not flawed. It's just incomplete. So I'm trying to fill in the gaps and try to reasonably deduce what this information means in the midst of a whole bunch of other market chaos and you know, generally bad news that people want to talk about. I want to talk about something good. I want to talk about something that's positive. I think that that's a really positive story. It's a really positive story because what it says is, hey, look, yeah, over the next couple of years, we may have a recession, maybe, maybe not. We may have a soft landing out of this hot inflationary period, maybe, maybe not. Who knows? The point is that at some point we're going to get through this, and by 2031, we're going to be sitting at close to $600 billion in global managed services spend, with roughly another $500 or $600 billion likely coming from the SMB and mid-market sectors. So if I was you, what would I be doing with this information? Well, I would be planning. I would be planning for growth. I would be planning for a reasonable, ongoing, continued growth cycle in your managed services practice. Now, this brings up a whole host of other questions. If I'm a VAR making 50 to 60 or 70% of my revenue from reselling hardware or software, and I'm looking at this report or I'm listening to this podcast or watching the podcast and I'm saying, well, how do I capitalize on that money over the next 7 years? It's not by being a VAR. I'll tell you that. You got to be in managed services for that to happen. You got to make that shift. If you're highly reactive, if you still have customers that are pulling you into the reactive universe, I imagine there's like a reactive break-fix multiverse, right? Where there's a bunch of computer repair people who are just perpetually repairing the same old unplugged Ethernet cords and jammed, you know, printer spoolers and stuff like that. And they just over and over and over again every day, and they never can get out of the rut, right? But then there's an alternate MSP universe where everything's running fine and all the lights are green, printers work, email flows, everything's secure, life is good. Maybe Marvel will make a movie about that one day. Anyway, back to reality. If I was you, I would be really looking at the next several years and examining your business model and wondering, is your business model going to get you to that $600 billion in revenue if you're in the enterprise sector? If you're not in the enterprise sector, you still have, I think, $600 billion or so up for grabs that consumers are going to be spending with somebody. The question is, are they going to spend it with you? Are they going to spend it with an MSP? Good question. Good question to ask yourself. Anyway, some good news, in my opinion, in a world of maybe not so perfect economic news. But on to better and bigger things. Speaking of big, does size matter in managed services? Does size matter in managed services? So I hear this a lot, actually, from MSP operators, owners who say, I want to get to this revenue line, this marker, before I consider myself success. Or I hear a lot of investors, a lot of PE firms say, we're not looking at any MSP unless they have an EBITDA number of this. Anything below that, we're just not interested because we don't think that they're serious or to be taken seriously. Okay. I get why they say those things. I get why the investors say it. I get why business owners and operators say that they have revenue goals. Goals are not the problem. But it always seems like there's a fixation on, I got to get to a certain size in my MSP practice before I can be considered good. That's the issue. That's the question that I want to dismantle, tear up, throw away, burn, and never deal with again. Because I don't want any MSP operator, I don't want any investor for that matter, thinking that the value, the worth of any MSP is contingent on the size of their company, because it's not. I'm going to give you some examples. I have seen many large organizations who have managed services divisions. That's not all they do, managed services. In fact, more often than not, it's a very small portion of what they do. They do something else, but they have managed services, and those managed services divisions have been ugly. Ugly is the best way to talk about it, best way to describe it. Non-functional, inefficient, not scalable, disorganized, highly unsecure, highly at risk. Not because they're a big company. No. Because they never took the managed services game Seriously. They never looked at it as a profession. They never looked at it as anything other than a new technical offering. And therein lies the problem. So any of you larger MSPs, and I, by the way, I know a lot of large MSPs who have really fantastic internal MSP departments. Really, really top notch. But it's not the size that got them there. It's not the size of their organization that got them to that level of proficiency, efficiency, scalability. Okay? I've seen small MSP organizations who had really fantastic, hyper-scalable, hyper-efficient, really secure managed services offerings that would put internal MSP offerings of those larger organizations to shame or just pale in comparison. I've seen small organizations that have really abysmal MSP, right? Get what I'm saying here. Size is not an indicator of anything. I mean, if your sole objective is to become bigger as an MSP because you think being bigger is going to make you a better MSP, that is not the case. If you're a good MSP, the chances are really high that your MSP practice and your company is likely going to grow. It just stands to reason because you're going to be able to keep up with and eventually scale and scale and scale. Now, this assumes that you have a good sales and marketing team. You can execute on that sales strategy and all that stuff, right? Things that are not technical related. So I appreciate that. Size is not an indicator of success. Size is not an indicator of MSP efficiency. And again, I make reasonable deductions based on what I see in the MSPs that I've worked with, not only consulted with, talked with over 20 plus years, but also the countless MSPs that we've certified. We've got a ton of data to make these types of assertions. And that is that the MSPs, regardless of size, that really focus on their efficiency and scalability first, will be able to have a core engine that has the capability, not saying it will, but has the capability to grow exponentially. An organization that has an MSP division, let's call it, and they really never cultivate it, they never really bother to invest in it, to make it hum, right? As an engine should, as an engine could. They never really invest in it. And as a result, they think, well, we're a big organization. And we see this more in big organizations than in small organizations. That we do know. The bigger organizations tend to look at their experimentation in managed services as an experiment. They tend to look at it as competitive to other things that they do. That's a real problem the larger you are. And we've studied this and we've done a lot of work to try to resolve that specific issue within larger organizations who are trying to get a managed services business unit off the ground. Some of their fiercest competition and fiercest headwinds comes not from other competitors. It comes from internal, inside the company. From maybe management or maybe other departments or very often salespeople from another division who are trying to subvert the managed services offering because it's competitive to their compensation structure. Ooh, that's a touchy subject. The point is, the resources that you have as any entity, but particularly a larger organization, those resources are not a guarantee of your success. They can guarantee that you have access to cut a check to get a tool. They can give you access to hire people who have the skill sets. But unless you have the right mixture, the right environment, the right sponsorship and approval and support from your management to allow you to execute. It's not going to do anything. It's not going to do what you need it to do. And I think back to the Inspire group meeting in Boston several weeks ago, and someone said this because they were talking about the reluctance of some MSPs to open up and talk to other MSPs because they think that they're afraid of giving over secrets, like trade secrets. Like if they talk to another MSP who's within 5 feet of them, they're going to be giving over the secret to their Coca-Cola formula. Like it's that jealously guarded. And this MSP executive, he's a business owner. He's got it's not a small MSP. It's not a huge MSP, but it's a reasonably sized MSP. Said, you know what? We don't have secrets from each other. We use relatively the same tools. We follow relatively the same process. We go through the same mechanisms every day. What makes us different from each other is whether we execute or not. And I thought, that's really good advice. It's really good advice for those MSPs who are really scared of opening up and talking to other MSPs because you think that you're going to leak out accidentally some trade secret that's making you so unique and special. Well, that's not what makes you special. It's not. If you're executing, that's what makes you special. You can do it. Because if everyone could do it, guess what? The internal IT departments would be doing it all over the place. If internal IT departments could do it, all of those big 10 enterprise class MSPs that are generating $600 billion or will be by 2031 wouldn't be making that money because all of the customers that they sell to would, guess what? What would they do? They would be doing. They'd be delivering their own managed services internally. They wouldn't need enterprise class MSPs or mid-market or SMB class MSPs. It's all about execution. It's not about size. It's not about resources. It's not about how much your budget is, how much your revenue is. Can you scale? Are you efficient? Are you secure? Do you follow best practices? Can you execute on all those things? Can you put them all together and execute on that managed services vision? If you can do that, regardless of your size, you'll be successful. Till next time.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give us a like. Make sure you are subscribed to the podcast so you'll get notified when future episodes are released. We will see you next time in the MSP Zone.